praise for thee.
I know eternal life he gives from sin and sorrow.
Our young people at camp and at Vacation Bible School around here and everything recognize a lot of things about how much the encouragement we have from songs that we sing. And one great encouragement comes from a song about the Lord being the light of our lives and joy of our spirit and good ways in which we sing. And our adults have learned those particular songs as well, and they sing along with us. There we'll glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord, behold the reigns in majesty. We will bow before his throne. We will worship him in righteousness. We will worship him alone. So hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Indeed, it is the case that we glorify, we put light on the Lord. We sing these good songs together. We've got somebody who sings with us today. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. We're talking about good things and godly things as we go along. In this particular month, we're talking about the ways of service that are rendered to us. And the ways of service, let's see, do I have this on? Well, it's down here, isn't it? Okay. Put it right up here. Now then, you can hear it a little bit better. Okay, for good things. Good to see y'all, and good to be here today with y'all and all. I thought today we'd go back to see what God has done to serve each one of us. What has God done to serve us? In the pages of the scripture, we understand and we recognize that God, first off, set forth his word to us. His word explains something very important to us. It talks about the years it took God to have this word to be preserved by his prophets and apostles and the Lord Jesus when he came to this earth. In 1 Kings chapter 6, there's a reading here. In 1 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, in reference to this particular period of time. Almost 2,000 years were involved with the Bible. Yet we find it exactly harmonizing in chapter to chapter, verse to verse, section to section of the Scripture. We have 66 books in the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. We have this written to us over a period of years of time, yet harmony exists in all of these texts. In 1 Kings chapter 6, listen to what it says there in this regard. 1 Kings 6 and 1. So Solomon began to build the temple for Jehovah. This happened in the 480th year after the people of Israel had left the land of Egypt. This was the fourth year of King Solomon's rule over Israel. It occurred in the second Jewish month, the month of Zion. Now the temple that King Solomon constructed for Jehovah was 90 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 45 feet high. The porch in front of the main room of the temple was 30 feet wide and 15 feet deep. This room ran along the front of the temple itself. Its width was equal to its width of the temple, and Solomon made narrow windows in the temple. These windows were narrow on the inside, but larger on the outside. Then all around, Solomon built some side rooms against the walls of the main room of the temple. These rooms were built on top of each other. The rooms on the bottom floor were 7.5 feet wide. The rooms on the middle floor were 9 feet wide. On down the line, the description is given of this, but I want you to note 480 years from the time that the children of Israel left the land of Egypt to this time of the building of the temple of God. That period of time was a long, extended period of time. When we add up the years in which the prophet spoke there in regard to the work of the Lord, we realize that Isaiah would preach and teach his word about 750 years before Jesus came. And as a result of that, it doesn't take us much time to realize that we've got almost 2,000 years involved with the writing of the text of the Scripture. God was grateful and thankful that he was able to do this and write to us. He'll have Psalmist David declaring this in Psalms 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In verse 130 of that text of Psalm 119, he'll note, the entrance of thy word giveth light. We have that which is opportunity for us to see better when we read the word of God. And when we read it with understanding, as Nehemiah talked about in Nehemiah 8 and 8, when he said they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the meaning. He's talking about a context. He's talking about the definition of words. As a result of that, seeing how God spoke those words and how it was defined, and now then the context in which that occurred. So that we'll understand that there was a period of time in which the flood came, and they were delivered in that flood, Noah and his family, by way of an ark that God told them to prepare in Genesis 6. And we read regarding this that Noah did all that God commanded him, Genesis 6 and 22 through 24. We read that he obeyed the Lord, he entered into that ark, and the Lord shut the door. And others did not enter into that ark, and they perished as a result of the flood that came upon them. Later on in 2 Peter chapter 3, references made by the people of that day and time, that they said to Simon Peter, since the Lord delayed his coming, he's not coming. He just has no plan to do that. But Peter says, as they were in the days of the flood, so it will be in his coming. They did not recognize. They did not think that he was really going to do it. But he did do that because he promised he would do that and carried it out in due time. What we have is God telling us that he served us by way of telling us what he's doing, why he's doing it, what he's doing, what the preparation for those people are at that time. And in Romans, in reference to this matter, chapter 15, the things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We have those scriptures there. We have patience read there. We have comfort in those scriptures. We have a way of life by which we enjoy that relationship with God. And we find our joy in the Lord because we find ourselves doing those things of God. As a result, we find the same kind of joy that they had back there as they obeyed the Lord. The Lord gave us his word over a period of several hundred thousands of years of time involved. And as a result of that, we can see who came and what they did and what they left behind. Secondly, consider the fact that God in his word tells us more in regard to Jesus coming in his work. The Lord Jesus came not as a result of his own particular magnitude, but of this choice that he did. In Hebrews chapter 10, reference is made to this Son of God in contrast to the animal sacrifices that were being used by the Jews at that time. Those sacrifices were being done each year, and as a result of that, in the year's time, they would have forgiveness of sins in the past, but next year it would be brought up again. And they would do another animal sacrifice in reference to that way of life being forgiven. But it is noted to us that Jesus came and offered himself once for the sins of the world, that he offered himself completely. And as a result of that, he gave the opportunity for people to know the Lord's will and be a person of his right way. It is said in Hebrews 5 and at verses 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made complete or perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those that obey him. What do we find there? We find that the Lord Jesus himself, when he came to fulfill the cause and the purpose of the Heavenly Father. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He learned what it really meant and how it pleased the Heavenly Father in a righteous and good and godly way. What do we find here? We find that we ought to obey him because he's the author of eternal salvation to those that obey him. Are we obeying him? Are we following him in our ways of life? We should be. What are we doing once we find ourselves in a new relationship with him? Paul writes about being baptized into Christ and living that new life in Romans chapter 6. We find ourselves in the Lord and enjoying that relationship with him. But John will tell us in 1 John 1 and beginning at verse 4 that we learn the truth and the word of the Lord is revealed to us and we find that understanding of his will. We're in the fellowship with the Father and the Son. And as a result of being in that fellowship with the Father and the Son, that when we sin, what do we do with our sins? 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now that's not said to just anybody and everybody. People out here in the darkness of sin say, oh Lord, please forgive me. Wait a minute, are you in a relationship with the Father and the Son? That passage is said to those people who find a relationship with the Father and the Son. How's that relationship? Paul wrote about it in Romans 6. That relationship began when we were baptized into his death. We were baptized into his death and raised to walk a new life. And so it is that when walking that new life, we may say things that are not of God. We may do things that are not of God's approval. What do we need to do? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wonderful blessing every day by day that we have a relationship with the Lord. Does it not bring us a great joy to know that we're pleasing God as we live from day to day? As we find ourselves being free from that past life of sin and wrongdoing? Now then we find ourselves being free from day to day. As a relationship with the Lord exists, we're in fellowship with him and we pray unto him. That we realize the wrongs that we've done and the things that we don't even realize, we realize that he will forgive us and care for us because he offers that promise to us. I'll forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Even the things of unrighteous deeds that bring us to do the sin that we do. The unrighteous thoughts, the unrighteous mannerisms, the things we see, the things we touch, the things we do in life that are sinful and wrong. What do we find? Well, we find the Lord says, I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness too. I'll find a way in which you can live honorably with me and live faithfully with me, and I'll be with you. No wonder it would be Jesus who would say to the disciples in John 14 at verse 23, if any man will love me and keep my words, my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. What do we find here? We find the Lord saying the Father himself wants to come from heaven and live in our spiritual walk of life on a day-to-day basis. If we will obey his word, my Father will love that man, and we will come. The Father and the Son will come and make their abode with us. The fact is that he can spiritually live in our daily walk of life if we would but allow him to. And allowing him to, we appreciate. Don't we have a smile on our face and a joy in our heart to know that day by day we can live a life of forgiveness? Doesn't it bring us great sense of service and joy within us that we can live that way of life? When he talks about how we serve, he talks about the ways in which he'll go with us. In James chapter 1, beginning verse 26, he'll talk about pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. God the Father is looking on. He's seeing us practice. Religion? No, not just religion, but practice pure religion. That's what Jesus himself had said about the worship of God in John 4 at 23 and 24. When Jesus said, my Father seeks true worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth, for God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we find that God wants us to be that person, wants us to be that servant. And what do we find here as we read here in reference to him? We read in reference to that Father and the Son that they are wanting to walk in our daily walk of life. What a blessing it is to have that kind of relationship with God, that he wants to live in our daily walk of life, walk with us in our spiritual walk of life from day to day. Does it not bring great joy to know that you never walk alone, you never drive anywhere alone, you never go to visit alone, you never do a good deed alone, you practice a pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Particularly there are those in need around us, the fatherless and widows. There is a fatherless situation that is due not only to the fact that a father has died, but a father may have departed. As a result of that, children being left alone. Why, even scientists recognize the difference in a family that has a father there, an image of a male in the family, versus none. The difference in their obeying the law of the land. Their difference in their understanding principles and practices that are good and helpful to society. They recognize that. There are various groups that have come up to be recognized ordinances of people. And they group with people and they get with people and they talk about it. And they raise funds and they do deeds that emphasize the place of fatherhood in the family. Well, here's what we talked about. Pure religion. Pure religion helps that to go on. Pure religion helps somebody to be a mentor to children. A mentor to the ways of life that are good and helpful. It's pure religion. Undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit, to care for the fatherless and widows in their affliction. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. He doesn't need to trash that by being a person who has a terrible example. A terrible reputation. Just somebody who just don't trust being around. You don't trust the children to go to the candy store with this individual. You don't trust the people to have this person to watch out for them while you're gone from the home shopping. This person has a bad, bad illustration of an example. Keep himself unspotted from the world. He'll have friends. He'll have people to help him. He'll have people to love him. He'll have a way of life that is remembered from years and years to come. What a blessing it is. When I wrote the book on regard to counseling yourself to a better way of life back in the mid-1980s, I had several teachers to dedicate that book to. One of those teachers was Miss Annie Smythe. Miss Annie Smythe never married. She was a first grade teacher, but she was one of those kind of people that had particular interest in her students and particular interest in where they went in life and what they were doing. When Miss Jane and I and family moved up to Batesville in 1978, we ran into some people that owned a store downtown. And as a result of that store downtown, they were not named Smythe, but they were relatives of Miss Annie Smythe. And they were good people. They had that cheese that came out of the barrels and crackers and things like that in there. And they'd have people just sit around there and chew a little cheese and eat a little bit of crackers with them and enjoy that way of life. They said, "We knew that you were coming. How did you know I was coming to Batesville?" "Well, Miss Annie, your teacher, told us." They had heard and had it in the newspaper that that was going to occur, and she had informed Mel Anderson and Ms. Anderson, who were also teachers and people who worked the store there in downtown Batesville. Do you know how that made me feel? Makes you feel right now hearing that story. It made me feel good. It made me feel worthwhile. So when I wrote that particular work, one of the dedicated persons about that was that teacher, Miss Annie Smythe. When she got her book in the mail, a word of appreciation to her is because that she had appreciated me and she had kept up with me all through these years, coming and going and doing. God wants to be that person in our lives too. Aren't we appreciative of the fact that He wants to live in our daily walk of life? Let me use those verses once again in memory for you today and for those who listen on the internet. John 14:23, "If any man will love me and keep my sayings," Jesus said, "my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with that person, with him." He wants to live in our daily walk of life. Does he want us to live in a sinful, mean-spirited way? No, he wants to practice pure religion. It's undefiled before the Father. It's this, to visit and care for the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. Don't get into worldly words and worldly mannerisms and worldly deeds. Have a good reputation. It brings about good things for those who know you and benefit from it. Finally, today in our lesson study, what did the Lord do in regard to serving us? He assured Jesus that once he got back to heaven, he would restore to him all the glory that he shared with him before the world was. Jesus prayed about that in John 17 at verse 4. Before his time of crucifixion, he prayed, "Father, restore unto me the glory that I shared with thee before the world was." What was that glory? What was that light in heaven that shone when he was there with the Father in heaven before he ever came to this earth? It was a magnificent relationship, a magnificent way of living. And he asked the Father to restore unto him the glory that I shared with thee before the world was. Before the decision by the Father was to make the world. The psalmist declares in this regard that he extends the elements of the world out on nothing. The earth itself is a circle of the earth, Isaiah 40:22, rotating as it goes through the sky. We have no sense of speed in regard to going through the sky. We're traveling about the rate of 3,000 miles per hour. We don't have a sense of speed in that regard because we're held by gravity to this earth. And when we go up, we come down. And when we pitch a ball, it's going to come down somewhere. And when we shoot a gun in the air in the time of the new year, that bullet goes up. But sad to say, it's going to come down somewhere. It may come down somebody's head somewhere. Think about where you're shooting that to make a sound during the night. And you'll be bitter. That's the rule in which we find ourselves in relationship with Him. Now, what Jesus said about this is that He's coming back. In John 14, Jesus plainly notes to us, beginning verse 1, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Don't want us to be worried and troubled and bitter in our life. He wants us to be people of peace and joy. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." We'll never, ever be alone. He wants to come and live in our daily walk of life. He wants us to practice a pure religion by which we find ourselves enjoying a relationship with others and help to others. It's a pure religion that He wants us to practice. And here we are. The Lord said, "Let not your heart be troubled. I'm going away. I'm going back to the Father. I prayed unto Him to restore to me the glory I shared with Him before the world was. I'm going back, but I will come again and receive you unto myself." Will we be like the worldly people of 2 Peter 3, who said, "Since the Lord told us He was coming, all things have continued with us since the beginning of the creation"? Well, all things hadn't been the same, really and truly. They forgot about all the things. They forgot about the flood that came to destroy those who were not in the ark. They forgot about all the years in which they were in the wilderness there, going toward the promised land, and they did not get in the promised land, except for those 20 years of age and younger who got in the promised land. The older ones were so fearful about their children. The Lord said, "You were afraid of them. I'll protect them and care for them. They'll go. They'll be there in the promised land, but you will perish in the wilderness." They did. What about your life and mine? Do we appreciate the service that God has rendered to us? God has rendered a service by His word that He gave to us. God rendered a service by way of His way of life that He showed us in His Son. God worked a way of life by way of our life of service. He works with us and wants to go with us. And someday He will fulfill that promise. He will come again. Will we be ready for that day? Jesus, our Lord, talked about that in the 25th chapter of Matthew, beginning verse 34. He said, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man." I don't even know, Jesus said, "My Father only." He said, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Lord doth come." Could it be today? Could be next minute of time? Could be next hour? Could be 2,500 years from now? He's not limited by that way of process of our thinking about time. He promised, and He'll fulfill that promise one of these days. Will we be watchful and alert? Will we be practicing the pure religion as He comes? I hope that that'll be the case. You can begin today in that process of being immersed into Christ, beginning to walk in a newness of life. I hope that you'll choose to do that. You can begin that way anew again today, falling away and not singing and not praying like we ought to be. We can come back to the Lord in repentance and prayer and be restored to Him. It's a way of great joy to have the service of God rendered to us. As we serve others, think about that. What joy we're giving to their lives. A joy that He's given to each one of us. Won't you come as we stand together and as we sing a song of encouragement. There's a great day coming, a great day coming.
judgment day. Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a sad day coming, a sad day coming. There's a sad day coming by and by. When the Savior shall hear his doom depart, I know you not. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?
I know you could see the smile on my face when I talked about Mel Anderson's store there in downtown Batesville, and Sadie, his wife, and how they had that old cheese, that old hoop cheese, in the barrel. Mom, I'm telling you, crackers there, plenty. Well, that's how meaningful it is to have friendships like that and things that they do to serve. God bless you in every way. Don't forget tonight, our service time won't be for everybody, be for travelers coming through. 6 o'clock, we'll have a brief service, a song and prayer, and the Lord's Supper offered to those who may not be able to be with us today. God bless you, everyone, and Happy New Year to you.
For space, the sky is falling, and the waves are gray. For earth, O mountains, majesty, all of the fruited plains. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown. Our sins, watch over us.